Now we're going to try to imagine what life will be like on January 21st, 2017. The inaugural parade and the festivities are over, and the new president of the United States is ready for his or her first day of work. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on what we might expect from a President Trump or a President Clinton on that first day and the 99 days that follow.
The new president's first full day in office will be a Saturday, so they could take it easy, sleep in. But that's not likely. After a seemingly endless campaign, both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are eager to get down to business.
What follows is my 100-day action plan to make America great again.
Trump recently sketched out his ambitious blueprint with a speech in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
First, I will announce my intention to totally renegotiate NAFTA, one of the worst deals our country has ever made.
Trump also promises to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific trade deal that's been in the works. Benjamin Wittes of the Brookings Institution says both those moves would be well within the new president's authority.
As a general matter, if the president wants to withdraw from a treaty, he simply gets to do that. And that's part of the powers of the office.
Trump would also have the power to make good on his pledge to deport more than 2 million immigrant criminals, to halt immigration from parts of the world he calls terror-prone, and to steer federal agencies in a sharply different direction than President Obama has.
You could literally have a stack of executive orders on Donald Trump's desk in the Oval Office that he could sign literally in his first hours of being president.
Campaign advisor Stephen Moore says Trump would act almost immediately to reverse the power plant rules at the heart of Obama's climate agenda, to undo orders limiting energy exploration, and to cancel the reprieve from deportation that Obama granted to immigrants who were smuggled into the country as children.
If you're an administration that lives by the executive order, then you're going to die by the executive order, too.
Other parts of Trump's agenda would need support from a friendly Republican Congress. Those include his $6 trillion tax cut, the repeal of Obamacare, and that big wall along the southwest border with Mexico.
Remember, I said Mexico's paying for the wall, with the full understanding that the country of Mexico will be reimbursing the United States for the full cost of such a wall.
Hillary Clinton, meanwhile, has her own roadmap for the first 100 days, if she winds up in the White House.
We're not going to build a giant wall. We're going to build roads and bridges and tunnels and ports and airports and water systems and a new electric grid.
Clinton told supporters in Johnstown, Pennsylvania this summer she'll also pursue immigration reform and big new investments in clean energy.
Within the first 100 days of our administration, we are going to break the gridlock in Washington and make the biggest investment in new good-paying jobs since World War II.
Most of Clinton's plans would require congressional support. And because the House, if not the Senate, is expected to remain in Republican hands, former GOP Congressman Tom Davis says that will test Clinton's negotiating skills.
She was a senator. She was a fairly successful legislator, and her husband was just very good at working with the Republican Congress. She's got that in her background, but the world has changed since that time.
Washington, like the rest of the country, has grown more polarized. And Davis warns either Clinton or Trump will face strong political headwinds from their very first day in office.
Remember this, the president, whoever it is, will come in with a high negative, probably close to 55% unfavorable view. That's not the traditional kind of mandate.
Even if there's no traditional honeymoon, though, whoever sits in the Oval Office will still wield considerable power, from nominating Supreme Court justices to pulling the many levers of the federal bureaucracy. Presidents generally try to deliver on their campaign promises, and in many cases, they succeed. So, for better or worse, Benjamin Wittes of the Brookings Institution says voters should take these pledges seriously.
When somebody promises to do something, you have to think about whether that's something that you would be willing to see happen, because the powers are simply too vast.
And this election will entrust those powers to one of these candidates for far more than 100 days. Scott Horsley, NPR News, The White House.